All right, well, over here in the book of Acts, there's going to be one verse there, or part of a verse, that I'm going to look at. But then we're going to go back to some other scripture also. But here in verse 32 in chapter 22, it says, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." We see right here where he's speaking about faith. And we must have the faith. And as long as we have the faith, the true faith in God, then we know that God will not fail us. But a whole lot of time, we don't really put all of our faith in him. Because that's sometimes when we don't, that's when a whole lot of times he won't answer our prayer request.
When did you read Acts 1?
No, Luke.
Acts.
I mean, it's Luke. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
I apologize. Luke chapter 22 and verse 32. Well, I'm going to read verse 31 and 32. I'll tell you. Read that. So I'm going to read it. All right. Everybody got it now? All right. Okay. I meant to give it to you now. Sorry, I didn't. But it says in verse 31 in the book of Luke chapter 22. I know I got the book of Acts on my mind. I've been studying that too, so. But now here in the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 31 and 32. Verse 31. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you with wheat." Sift you as wheat. "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Who do you reckon this is right here speaking to Peter? Speaking to Simon Peter. It's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only is he telling Simon the same thing here, he's also telling us the same identical thing today. That we should not follow self. We should not follow Satan. And we should not follow the world. But sometimes we get to the point where we get so wrapped up in something else that we're doing that we will fail and we will come short of the glory of God. And we will start serving the world when we know that we ain't supposed to be serving the world. And me and Brother James Abel was talking this evening, and he was telling me some things and everything, and I agreed with him. He said, you know, when you have people, and if two Christians cannot speak to one another, and if you cannot talk to one another, then something is wrong. One of them's not going to heaven. And I agree with him, because I believe this, that if you have the right spirit living within you, then you're going to do what you can to bring camaraderie, bring about a harmony, and everything that you can between you and the individual, whether you've done anything or not. If you've never done anything to hurt them, we are still supposed to come and say, "I'm sorry, I apologize." Because I don't want nobody to, and I don't want another brother or sister in Christ to have anything against me to where they cannot speak to me and where I cannot speak to them with a Christian love. Now, we know that the Lord Jesus right here, he's basically telling Peter, Simon Peter right here, he's basically telling him, He said, I'm praying for you. And just reading the verses and everything and what Peter and what the Simon Peter said then going on down here and everything. He says, Lord, you know that I love you. The Lord says, yes, I know you love me, but go feed my sheep. He just heard the sound. He just heard the voice of God, but he would not go about and doing what God wanted him to do. He didn't go about feeding the sheep in the right way. We need to go and feed the sheep, and we need to feed the people the word of God. Whether they say we're wrong because they don't believe in that, that's immaterial. God said it. That's it. I can't do anything about it. I can't say anything any different. God said it, and that's it. And we should not ever argue with somebody about the word of God. Because if we do, we're going to end up losing the blessings. They're not. We're the ones going to end up losing the blessings. Why? Because they have got us into a place to where we're going to lose our blessing. Because I don't believe God will ever bless anybody when they get upset or anything like that over the word of God. Now, don't get me wrong. Yes, we can have disagreements on the word of God. I can have disagreement with anybody. But I tell them, I say, hey, this is what I believe. You can't change me. That's it. But I'm not going to sit down and tell somebody and be arguing with them about something that they might believe that is contrary to what God's word says. Me and Brother James was talking this evening. And he said, you know, we lose the blessing because of what we do. We don't lose the blessing because of somebody else. We lose the blessing because of us. Because of us as individuals. He said, don't get me wrong. He said, now, I do not agree with these pastors and with these preachers as I hear preaching. And they're standing up here preaching to a congregation of people. And they have 2 and 3 wise living. It's against God's word. It's against it over in the book of Timothy and in the book of Titus. And it also teaches us it's just not for the pastor and for the preachers. It is for the deacons also. That they should be the husband of one wife. They must be the husband of one individual. Well, sir, and I've had them to tell me this. I said, well, they weren't saved when they got married. Didn't they come to find out they couldn't live together? They fought all the time. Then they got a divorce. But then they got saved. I said, don't God forgive sin? Yes, He forgives sin. God cleans our slate. He cleanses our slate from the time that we gave our heart to Him. Our slate, our life is completely clean. But Paul and even Titus and Timothy, they was not speaking of sin at all in them 2 chapters. To the deacons or to the pastors or to the elders at that time in the victory. Speaking about qualifications. We can disqualify ourselves in what we do for the Lord. We can disqualify ourselves I believe in coming up here and singing in the choir. I believe we can disqualify ourselves from coming up here and singing a special. I believe we can disqualify ourselves and going and taking an offering up. We can disqualify our own selves. God does not do that. God give us the word. That is something I'm not supposed to pray about. I'm not supposed to pray about, well, so God, you know, me and my wife, we can't get along. I tell you what, here lately we've been just at each one neck and we fighting like cats and dogs all the time. Lord, we just can't do that no more. We can't live together. So I'm going to get a divorce. Yeah, I can get a divorce. But when I get the divorce, who gives out the divorce? Who signs the papers? The judge. The judge of the land that we're in, the city that we're living in, the county that we're living in. That judge will sign that, and the lawyers will get involved. Individuals, human people will get involved in it. And when they get involved in it, that's where people fail. Why? Because they will not allow God to fix our marriage. They will not allow God to teach them and to help them with their marriage. I still believe this. I still believe that a couple, before they say, well, take me and my wife, Shelby. If we got to that point in our life that we think that we cannot live together, and we have tried everything ourselves, we've prayed about it, we've got other people praying about it, but don't you think that God also raises up individuals out here, other Christians, that can counsel us, can help us, and pray for us? You know, when we have problems of our own, we don't want to share them problems. We don't want to share it with no one else. Only one we want to share it with was with God. And that's good, that's great, that we can share it with God. But I'm going to ask you something. You're here among people. You're here among people of like faith. You're among people that love you. And if the people, if the Christian truly loves somebody, they will not leave the office or the church and go ahead and get on the phone and start talking it up and telling everybody else about it. It don't even come to the church. But I will say this. I think the body of Christ needs to know. I think we need to recognize the body of Christ is here for us. You're here for me. You know, I could have kept on going on and not even mention or said anything to you at all. About I was having liver problems and kidney problems. My leg, no, anyway, you didn't notice my leg, but you wouldn't notice the other. I didn't have to tell you, but you know the reason I told you? Because you love me. Because I love you, and I want to do the same thing for you. I want to be there when you need me. And please. Please. If you ever end up in the hospital, please do not think that you're bothering me. That I need to get some rest. Because when people don't call me, let me know that they're in the hospital or they are sick and they don't tell me or something like that. And if I find out about it, that does me no good either. Because I start worrying. You know what I start worrying about? Start worrying about what's the, well, you know, they don't trust me. They don't trust me. You can come to me and you can tell me anything you want to. Ain't one other individual would know anything about it. And that's God. Because He's there when you tell me. My wife won't know. My family won't know. My pastor won't know. Nobody else would know. But me and you and the Lord. But if you know, that's just like, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed because sickness may come our way. Don't be ashamed because things come in our lives that we don't understand. Because Paul spoke about being ashamed several different times in the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ don't want us to be ashamed of Him. That's just like when an individual comes up, they kneel at the altar and they pray. Somebody comes up and prays with them, and then they're led to the Lord. Then when I present before the church, or when any pastor presents them before the church, before we present them before the church and let them know what has happened, I always ask them, I say, you want to tell people what just happened? I said, don't be ashamed of the one that saved you. We should never be ashamed of anything, as long as we do it in the right spirit. We should never be ashamed. I should never be ashamed of what I preach. Because if I preach something's wrong, I bet you, before I get out of the driveway onto this road right here, I'll already know it. And I'll have to ask God to forgive me of it. I'm here not to hurt anybody. I'm here, I want to help people. I want to help your family. I want to help your immediate family. I want to help your other family that's outside. I want to help the church family. I want to help each and every one of us. How can I help you? To the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell them the same thing. Hey, He told Peter, He said, Peter, He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan wants you. Satan wants you. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He comes back and He said, Simon, Simon, don't worry about it. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. He's praying for Simon Peter. So if He's praying for Simon Peter because Peter was going to start serving the devil and the devil was going to attack him as the new Peter, don't you think the Lord Jesus Christ ain't praying for us? Why would He come and save my soul? Why would He allow the Father in heaven to place my name there in the Lamb's Book of Life if He wasn't concerned about me? He knew. They knew all along that I couldn't keep it. They knew all along that I cannot live the Christian life. But I can through Him. That's the only way I can do it is through Him. Because if I do it without Him, I'm going to fall flat on my face.
And when I get up, you're going to say, who in the world are you getting a fight with? Got in a fight with Satan. That's who I got in a fight with.
He never fails us. He has never failed me the first time. In August of this year, it'll be 37 years. He has never failed me the first time in 37 years. I failed him every day for the 37 years.
I didn't fail him intentionally, but see, hallelujah, thank you, Lord.
Hey,
you know the reason he ain't ever failed me? Because he don't have his flesh hanging on him anymore. Because he, one time, he was God man. He was just as much man as he was God. And he was just as much God as he was man. But he didn't have flesh on him. He didn't have to worry about the flesh. He had to worry about the flesh when he was Daniel. Because Satan, the devil, he was all over. He promised him the world. He promised him everything when he got up on the mountain. He said, you see everything that you see. Look around. Look around. Can you see all of this? Lord Jesus says, yeah. He said, it can be yours. It can be yours if you will just trust me. That's what he's saying. He said, you don't have enough bread. You don't have enough bread enough to sustain you. You don't have enough water to sustain you.
And the Lord Jesus standing right behind him, he said, you know something, Satan? What you don't realize is, I created all this. I own it anyhow. I even own the piece of ground that you're standing on. We even created you.
Now, have you ever thought about that? Have you ever really thought about
God creating Satan? Which back then was Lucifer. See, God didn't want to be by himself. Go all the way back to the beginning of time. He didn't want to be by himself. He never has wanted to be by himself. He wanted to have fellowship with other individuals. That's the reason that he created Lucifer. That's the reason he created the angels. But what did Lucifer do? He says, God, I think I can do a better job than you've done.
I think I can take over where you've left off, and I believe I can make it look a little better than what you did. God says, you can. I'm paraphrasing that. He probably, Lucifer said, yeah, said, I sure can. Says, you know, I hear where the individuals are going to start going through the wilderness, I hear. I'm going to give them new clothes every day. I'm going to give them new shoes every day.
God says, you are? He says, yeah. He says, you're making me mad. You're making me mad and angry. See, people don't think that God gets mad. And people don't think that God gets angry. But he does. He gets angry at us in the way that we act sometimes. He gets angry at me. because I won't do exactly like he wants me to do. He came. He allowed his son, Jesus Christ, to leave heaven. What did he allow? Why did he allow him to leave heaven? So he could be a witness to us. That's the reason. Now you say, when people tell me all the time, say, well, you know, I can't help you. I just got to wait. I can't come to church like I am right now. Says, you know, I smoke a little weed. I can't come to church. You know, God don't want me to come to church and enter into his house like that. And yes, and I take a drink every now and then. He don't want me in a house like that. That's who he died for. For them. But he came the way he could be a witness to them. Oh, I may not have been on drugs, and I may not have been on alcohol, and I may have been living just a good old life, I thought. But you know something, God's sight, Lord Jesus Christ's sight, I want no better than the individual I hear that was using heroin, pot, drinking all the time, and beating a wife, and wanting to put food on the table for the family and for the children. He said, son, you're just as worse off as he is. He said, matter of fact, you are worse off than he is. He said, because you don't think you've done anything wrong. You don't think you've done anything wrong. But see, that's in God's sight. I didn't think I'd done anything wrong. I thought I was a good individual. Did you realize that good people is going to hell too? Good people. Did you also realize that there's going to be church members that's going to be in hell today also? We're going to be surprised when we get to heaven. Who's going to be there? And we're going to also be surprised at who is not going to be there. I would like for us really to think about some things this year. What can we do for the Lord? He's praying for us. What can we do? Can I give him more of my time? Yep. Can I do this or that for him? As long as according to God's word, I can. Yes. It's what he wants from me. And he'll want no more from me. And he wants his, for you too, he wants his same for each and every one of you. He wants you to receive all the blessings that is through that book. From Genesis 1:1 to 22:21, the book of Revelation. All the blessings in between there. And I don't know how many there is. Somebody says 300. I believe it's more than that. I believe it's probably up in the thousands. That's what he's there for, to bless me.
And I need to bless him by doing what he's asked me to do. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Lord God, we just pray, Father, you will go with us here in the business meeting, Father. We pray, Lord Jesus, you will have your right of way there. And Father, I just pray, God, you'll touch each and every one of the hearts tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. All right. Sister Nancy?
Well, we didn't have a business.
That's right.